Hello and welcome to another You May or May Not Like It. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX, and I'm here with Brian. You can find on the Twittens at Pure Rock Fury. You can listen to all of our other podcasts at ComicRoast.com, and you can read all of our written reviews for movies, board games, TV shows, and the like at ReviewAndRoast.com. Today we are going to be talking to you about the, not sure how new it is. I think it's fairly new, right?
Came out in August or so.
You heard it from the man. The Wizard Always Wins. This is a 2-5 player game with a 30-minute playtime average for ages 10 and up. Basically, it's kind of like, I think Citadels, you know, where you have a set of characters. Each character does something different. The only difference here is there's only one set of characters that everyone chooses from. They're always face up on the table. I'll actually run down really quick for you because there's only a couple. So you get the Queen, who you get to draw a card and play a card. The Oracle, look at the top three cards, keep a card, discard the others, and play a card. The Traitor, draw a card, play a card, and then trade one face-up card or token with another player. The Apprentice draws tokens equal to your level. Draw all tokens, then apply the effects. The Farmer, draw two cards, draw one token, play one card. The Hunter, draw one card and one token and play two cards. And then the Wizard, draw tokens equal to your level, and if you draw your own gem, you win. So there you go. That's how you win the game. Basically, everyone starts at level one with no gems in the bag, and the bag will at that point consist of the same things that are on the cards. The cards will have almost like a little Shop of Horrors plant, like a little fly trap.
Yep.
A snail, a bone, yep. A potion, or a mushroom. And you collect these in front of you. When it says play a card, you just put it down in front of you. When you pull a token, you put it down in front of you. And you trade in four plants, you get a level. You trade in five snails, you put one gem in the bag. You trade in six bones, you get two levels. You trade in seven mushrooms, you get a level, and you put a gem in the bag. And then if you trade in eight potions, you put two gems in the bag.
Zing.
So you can pull the wizard whenever you want, but you know, if you only have one gem in the bag and you're only level two, chances are pretty slim you're going to draw it. That's the basics. That's the basis of the game here. I will say what I like is, you know, it's super simple. Obviously, it's a game for kids. Not to say that adults could not get enjoyment out of it. It is it's really simple. It's really quick. You know, we can knock out. Of course, it's just the two of us, but we can knock out a game in, you know, 8-9 minutes. You know what I mean? So it's easy to set up, easy to play, run through it really quick. It's one of those good filler games if, you know, it's gonna something you're going to keep in your collection. And it's great for kids because it's super simple. It's basically, it's almost like, you know, I don't want to say memory because, you know, you're not putting cards down. It's just basically a simple matching game that allows you to put gems in the bag and then you draw based on your level if you draw the wizard. And also, the one thing I didn't mention is, you know, each character in the order that I read them have a number on it, and that determines player order for the next round. So the player order is constantly changing, and, you know, it's just a really simple game.
Right on.
So since I nailed that, I guess we'll just move right along.
Well, the creator of this game is a person or a studio, I don't really know, by the name of Prospero Hall, and I guess they're affiliated with that Forest Prouzon studio that they've created a bunch of kind of quasi-mass market games. They did that game Suspicion that came out a year ago.
I like that.
They did the Harry Potter deck builder. They've done a lot of mass market games. This one is a Target exclusive. And every
it sounds like the Target always wins.
What? But this one is one of those games like every August around Gen Con, Target announces, they're going to rock about 60 new games. Wow! And I'm always intrigued because, you know, they always get a lot of exclusives. And Target seems to kind of have at least a sort of awareness of what's going on in board gaming. And last year when some of these games came out, I was kind of like, yeah, they're just more mass market games, whatever. Like, the Suspicion game was kind of okay, but like I didn't think, like, oh, man, this needs to be in my collection. I thought, like, I bought it for my nephew. He likes it. You know, I'll play with him. So this year I walk in and I see this game that just jumps right all over your face. It's from a new company called Big G Creative from Tennessee, maybe? I don't know. But this box art looks like Halloween's Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 3. I don't know if that album actually existed. I know they did a Part 1 and a Part 2. But instant guitar solos, like, jumping all over my face here with the rainbows and the wizard with the tattoos and the thumbs up. He looks like the Buddy Christ from the movie Dogma. And the gigantic heavy metal 80s font. What was the other one? Sabotage Hall, The Mountain King. Yeah, it looks like an 80s power metal record, but kind of for kids. So if maybe, like, Sabotage or Sanctuary teamed up with the people from the Jim Henson Group to make Sesame Street and made a board game. So anyway, I have to say I was intrigued just by the artwork. And then I looked at the back, and I'm like, this looks kind of like Splendor. And actually, now that you mentioned Citadels, I'm like, yeah, I could see that. This is like Citadels, if Citadels was a family weight game.
Did you say family weight?
Family weight. Oh. Like, oh, this is Citadels, and I could play with grandma. I could show this to my mom, who for some reason can't figure out how to play Ticket to Ride. This actually is kind of a gateway game in a way. It rests somewhere. I mean, it's not quite as strategic, but it kind of rests somewhere in the Settlers of Catan, maybe Ticket to Ride universe of games.
It's a lot lighter than those, but yeah, I get
it. It is because of one
thing. It's a
good
introduction for kids.
Yes. I feel like if you have young nephews or kids, like we do.
Or nieces.
And sexist. Splendor is not the hardest game in the world if you're a gamer. But Splendor is not going to register, I feel, right away with a young child.
There's a little more strategy in Splendor than...
Right.
You know.
This, to me, is the precursor to Splendor. In, like, you're learning the idea of set collection. You're also learning the aspects of individual role selections. Because each round, you're taking a role based on, A, what you need, but also, you know, where do you want to fall in turn order? Do you want to be the wizard and definitely go last? Because what if you don't get it? You might have 5 gems in the bag and whiff, and then go, all right, well, now I'm definitely last. In a 5-player game, going last will suck. Because not only are you giving 4 other people the chance to get the wizard roll and pull the win out, but you're also giving somebody else the chance to pick all the best rolls, and now you're, like, stuck with the queen. You're like, well, draw a card, play a card. Blah. Because the better player order cards are the weaker effects. The better effects come when you pick the later rolls.
Yeah, I feel that we've kind of did it a disservice by only playing 2 players, like, 4 times. We never played with the 3, 4, or 5 players. Because I feel like, well, I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Well, with 5 players, too, you're going to have more gems in the bag, and they're not all going to be yours.
Right.
So that, you know, you could be like, oh, I'm a level 2, but I got to get this now because somebody else has 5 gems in the bag. Woo! And you pull them out, and you're like, pink, that's not me. Yellow, that's not me. God damn it, now I'm the last guy the next round. That's going to suck. I think this game will better benefit from 4 players or more.
Oh, I completely agree. So I guess we'll just move it into what we didn't like and what I didn't like.
Well, I just want one more thing also. The box art, the components, the cards are a little flimsy. They're nice. They're a little flimsy, though. And plus, they're a weird size, so if you wanted to sleeve them, I think you'd have to get custom sleeves, if that's even a thing, so that would kind of suck. To me, this is not a game you're going to sleeve.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a...
Although you figure being made for kids, you probably would really want to.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I played it with my 5-year-old nephew, and right out of the box, he's like, I just bent your cards! I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. You know, if this game cost me $60, I would crush your head right now, but because it was $25, I'll let you live. But the components beyond that, like the tokens, the wizard bag is pretty cool. The dials are really nice. The little circular board where you keep track of all the, like, shared information is good. And I like the whole idea of collecting sets and everybody can see what you have. So especially, I didn't really use it the first couple times I played this, but the trader can be, like, super dick moves, which is kind of...
No, I did it to you twice. It was awesome.
Yeah, and then I did it back, but it really didn't do what I wanted to, but I ended up winning anyway, so...
The Wizard! Yeah, and it's funny, too, because you're talking about all the awesome components, and you didn't mention how the 7 character cards are, like, thick
Oh, cardboard. Yeah, you can break somebody's window with them. They're great. Yeah,
they're awesome.
I do like those.
So, now that you've raved, I'm going to rant.
Rant.
Ooh.
I like
Welcome
it.
To the Rave and the Rant. No, that was terrible.
I praise this game a little bit. I think it's...
No, I'm not saying it's a bad game. What's
not
going
a bad
on
game.
With my...
It's a pretty good game, as a matter of fact.
In here looks super weird. Anywho, mind you, like I said, we've only played it with 2 players, and I feel that that was probably a downfall, because, I mean, right off the bat, for the first couple of, you know, for the majority of this game, I feel like we were playing the Farmer and the Hunter, because it's draw 2 cards and a token, play a card, and then draw a card and a token and play 2 cards. Because in order to play the sets and get your stuff, you got to be able to put the cards out. So whatever's going to get you to draw the most cards and tokens is really, you know, I feel like the Farmer and the Hunter are the 2 best cards on the board. You know what I mean? I mean, after we started getting a lot of stuff out, yes, the Trader came in handy, but I've never seen anyone use the Apprentice, because the way I look at it, if you're going to go drawing a bunch of tokens out of the bag based on your level, you might as well just grab the Wizard and try and get the win.
I actually did use the Apprentice once in that game because, A, I think you picked the Hunter, and I'm like, well, I need to pick somebody ahead of you so I can go first next round. But also, I was like, oh, I want to see how awesome the Apprentice is, and I have a level 3, so I get to pick 3 gems out of the bag. And the first time it worked out, I got a potion, I got a bone, and I got a little hive plant flower monster guy.
Yeah.
But then I did it again, and I picked 2 gems, and they were both yours. And I was like, that's 2 whiffs, and I didn't get shit. So I was like, eh, your Apprentice is probably not that cool later in the game.
Well, here's the thing. At first, I was like, you know, in the Oracle, you get to draw 3 and keep 1. Like, I feel like I might as well just use the Farmer, draw 2, and keep them both. You know what I mean? But at the same time, there was a point at the towards the end, right when you pulled the Trader on me, I was like, well, if I can just draw 3 and hopefully get, like, a 3 mushroom card, then that'll be able, I'll be able to get this. I can put through 2 bags in the or 2 gems in the bag kind of thing. So, I mean, they all do have a purpose, but I feel like for the most part, the Farmer and the Hunter get used the most.
That's true.
But in a 5-player game, that's totally not going to be the case. But you'll also have way more people to steal shit from with the Trader. You'll have, you know, way more of a reason, I think, to use the Oracle, because, you know, it's not, yeah, draw a card, play a card with the Queen is great, and you'll go first next turn so you can get the Hunter or the Farmer, but, you know, being able to look at 3 cards and keep one is, especially when you're working on a few different sets, is going to be more beneficial. So, I mean, I'd like to play it with at least 4 people.
No, I agree.
But I don't know if we're ever going to really have 4 people here that are going to want... Well, Jeff would probably play it. And I mean, I know Mike would, but... I'm just saying. It is what it is.
It's a game I bought to play with my nephews. And so far, they've shown mild interest in it. Yeah. I haven't gotten to really sit down and play it with them yet. But they're... so in and out in terms of what they like, so it's never easy to tell if they're going to be into it or into gaming at all, or if they may come to they may come over next weekend and be into sweater vests. I have no idea.
I like sweater vests. I used to.
So if we're on to what we don't like,
then I got fat, so
all right. Well, there you go. If I have to say the one thing I got this game that I'm not a big fan of, it's the actual way you win the game. Because I do feel like there's an okay amount of strategy here. Like, you know, especially you're trying to build sets. You see, okay, 8 potions. You get to, you know, put 2 gems in the bag. Okay, but Scott's got 6 potions laying out there. Well, maybe I'll play the Trader and screw him out of one of them. That's kind of a neat mechanic. Not a mechanic, but that's a neat role to pick. Especially when you start getting up there and somebody's got a level 5 now. They got about 4 gems in the bag. They're getting close to going for the Wizard. No, I'm going to screw them out of it now because I don't want them to have the Wizard. I want to be the Wizard. And that kind of all falls like blump when you pick the Wizard. I mean, it's cool, but the win doesn't feel earned. It feels like I'm going to go for it. Like you're going to spin the big wheel and the price is right. That's kind of how that feels. So it kind of deflates the game for me a bit because I like the win to be hard fought. And I like the win to feel like I worked for this. I am the king. And this was like, I'm the wizard. And I won because I flicked the right thing. Plus, the more resources you start taking out of the bag, once they come out of the bag and they get spent, they're out of the game. So you're not putting them back in. They're not clogging the bag up. So the lighter the bag gets resource-wise, the more gems are in there, the greater chance you're going to pull yours out, especially if you're like a level 7 and the bag's primarily gems at that point. The chances of you picking not your gem is pretty slim. So I feel like there's no strategy in that role at all. That's basically like, all right, now I'm going for it. And I won, and it didn't feel all that awesome. I was kind of like, eh. The game itself leading up to that was a lot more fun than the end. It's like when you rent a movie and you're like, this movie rules. And the end is like, oh, and she's got a mustache. That's the thing. That's it. Oh, man.
The win's a little anticlimactic, but again, with two players.
Again, yeah, like we need to play why. It with more people to really know.
Yeah. Anything you would change?
What would I change? I would make the cards a little less flimsy. I would probably... I've become a big fan of multi-use cards. I like the cards like in Terraforming Mars, for example. And we're going to refer to this game a lot, I think, in coming reviews because it's become a top game in the group. In the group, in the world, it's a game that is like a thing now. It's not a game that's hyped. It's a game that's lived up to and exceeded the hype of the hyping of worlds. But like you play the one, like say that you play the cards that, you know, you play this card and you put two cubes on it to represent, I have two animals. Well, every round now you can use that card for its action. You can use, or like the one where you get the fighter jets. You can play it for its immediate effect. You can also keep it out and use it for a round to round action to kind of build up points. And there's other cards that do the same sort of thing. That game Guilds of London, it has the shield, the crests on there. Like, this is where you could move your guy to. Or you can flip it over and use the coin side to spend as currency. Or you can use the action on the card. The cards have three uses on them. These cards are literally, you put the set down and that's it. Even Splendor, to go back to Splendor, you can spend those gems to get this card, but now you have this opal or this whatever to spend as like instant money every time. So the more green cards you buy, you not only have this set of green you need, you also have four greens right off the jump, and then you don't have to spend as much from the token pool that you've accumulated. This game could probably benefit from something like that.
I think it'd be kind of neat if the characters were like double-sided and they had different effects.
Yeah.
You know, or an expansion with new characters. I know there's really not too many effects you can maybe do on this, but I would definitely add more gems. And I don't mean gems. I would add more tokens to the bag so it doesn't seem so easy to pull your own out. Again, two-player game is all we've played, so I could be, you know, speaking out of turn, so to speak. But, you know. I think, and again, I understand the game is for, you know, they recommended ages 10, and the people on, you know, Board Game Geek say it's about 8 and up. That feels about right. You know, it's a simple matching game, but I don't know. There's got to be a different way to do the winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, I think if there was more of an earned victory rather than a luck victory, that would definitely enhance the game a little bit for me. And the thing is, I have to take into consideration that this is a game being sold at Target, so they have to kind of rope in non-gamers to go, hey, board games are awesome now, and you should check something out. This might be a good way to kind of enter the world of modern board gaming by playing something that's not super complex. You can ease your way in and then work your way up to playing Terraforming Mars in like 6 months. Just saying, your average soccer mom is not going to go out and buy, you know, Risk Legacy and be nailing it the first night. She's going to look at the rule book, start crying, and then set the house on fire. You need to kind of walk your way up the stairs. You can't just start at the top.
Get some weird analogies.
But in that staircase to gaming glory, the wizard is a solid first step.
Let's knock off the carpentry, Jesus.
I'm just saying. In the escalator of gaming life, this is a good platform to begin with.
All right, so in the grand scheme, why don't you give it a number?
I will give this game, based on its strengths and its barrier to entry, which is very low, a 7.7. Components are mostly good. Artwork is really good. It is a mostly fun, very light filler game, or a very good entry-level game for families to play non-roll-and-move games, or trivia, or games that involve a plastic toilet that shoots water in your face. This is a game that a gamer can actually play and go, hey, it's not bad.
Yeah, I'm going to go, this, whatever, this might sound weak, but based on the two-player game and the very lackluster feeling you get for winning, I'm going to give it like a 6.5.
That's
the yeah. You know, components are great. You know, the cards are what they are, whatever, no big deal to me, but I just feel like they're, and again, the game's made for kids. For kids, it's probably closer to an 8 if I was a kid, but being an adult, I feel there's a few things that would be make it a little more across the board fun for everybody, but that's just me. So, anywho, that is the Target exclusive, The Wizard Always Wins. Any final words before I close?
Maybe if the game was called The Wizard Never Wins, let's say the wizard had an awesome ability, but it could never win.
Nobody would pick it.
What if the ability was so great, but it's the one role where you definitely could never win? So you're like, man, that ability is super tempting. It's really good, but what if one of these other six people gets the win condition this round? I absolutely can't. That's what they should have done. The wizard never wins. Make the sequel.
So the other six cards can win, but the one can't. That just seems silly.
But again, those abilities will just be what they are. But the wizard ability is like, you get to play two cards, draw three tokens, put four gems in the bag, and give the finger to everybody. It's like, man, that's tempting. Because that could be good next turn, but what if the oracle wins this turn? And
how does the oracle win if they all have the same abilities they have now? You have to change the win condition then.
Yeah, they all can win except for the wizard.
All right.
The wizard never wins.
You're ruining the game.
All right.
Anywho, you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find all of our stuff at ComicRoast.com and ReviewAndRoast.com. Stay tuned for some more awesome board game podcasts in the future, and have a good week.